The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger excused. Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Bird. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchins.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petrov.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson. Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace. Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Burkhart excused. Esquivel.
Excused.
Esquivel excused. Harshman.
Excused.
Harshman excused. Moniz.
Excused.
Moniz excused. Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas excused. Stubson.
Excused.
Stubson excused. Wallace.
Excused.
Wallace excused. 51 present, 9 excused.
Prayer of the day will be offered today by Reverend Bob Gerard, representing the First Presbyterian Church, Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Lord God, we gather together to ask for your blessing as these representatives do your work in the service to the people of Wyoming. Please grant the full measure of your knowledge to these women and men as they ponder and debate, create and revise, explain and decide. May your insights and solutions dawn upon their minds and hearts. May your sense of unity to do what is best surround them and give them confidence to move forward. Help those of us as the electorate to be fair in our expectations of these our fellow citizens. When meetings run late, sustain our leaders. When the time to sleep is nigh, gift them with deep sleep and true rest for a bright tomorrow. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball!
We're at that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 16, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Winters and Representative Filer.
It's come to the Speaker's attention that it's the Sergeant-at-Arms 27th birthday. And so, Representative Blake, if you would lead us. The doctor of the day today is Dr. Kim Broomfield, M.D., Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to introduce the nurses of the day because, unfortunately, I've been spending time with them over the last 6 months. The nurses of the day are Kimberly Johnson and Denise Sartz from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. And they're not here, but let's welcome them anyway.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please.
Mr. Speaker, in the back gallery standing are two great gentlemen. One is Tom Hembree, and that name goes back decades in the city of Rawlins, and the other is Gary Crum, who's president of Wyoming State Bank. Please give them both a big welcome.
Gentlemen, welcome to the House.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce in the back our county clerk, Mr. Hans Odey, part of the brains that runs Hot Springs County. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 178.
House Bill number 178, introduced by Representative Crone.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 178 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 190.
House Bill 190, introduced by Representative Walters.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public defenders.
House Bill number 190 is introduced to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 191.
House Bill number 191, introduced by Representative Green.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal history record information.
House Bill number 191 is introduced to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 3.
House Joint Resolution 3, introduced by Representative Hunt.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to refrain from enacting any laws which restrict private property rights.
House Joint Resolution number 3 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 184.
House Bill number 184, introduced by Representative Petrov.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 184 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 185.
House Bill number 185, introduced by Representative Petrov.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 185 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill number 186, introduced by Representative Petrov.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 186 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 188.
House Bill 188, as introduced by Representative Stevenson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds.
House Bill 188 is referred to Committee number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 177.
House Bill number 177, introduced by Representative Crone.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
House Bill 177 is referred to Committee 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 73.
House Bill 73, as introduced by Representative Kennedy.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state symbols.
House Bill 73 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 131.
House Bill number 131, introduced by Representative Yeagie.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game fish.
House Bill 131 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 181.
House Bill number 181, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county officers.
House Bill 181 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 179.
House Bill number 179, introduced by Representative Halverson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to commercial motor vehicles.
House Bill 179 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 182.
House Bill number 182, introduced by Representative Croker.
The first reading of the bill.
An act relating to highways.
House Bill 182 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 189.
House Bill number 189, introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Federal Real ID Act.
House Bill 189 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 192.
House Bill 192, introduced by Representative Green.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 192 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 183.
House Bill Number 183, introduced by Representative Escobel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
House Bill 183 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred as House Bill 144, Kindergarten Readiness Programs, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Tweeters, and signed by Representative Tweeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred to House Bill number 71, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred to House Bill number 90, Recreation Liability-Aircraft Activities, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman.
Are there any re-referrals? Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully ask that House Bill number 71, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, be referred to Committee number 2 as it has an appropriation. Thank you.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Are there any other re-referrals? We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 3,
House Bill number 3, as introduced by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code, extending duration of effectiveness for filed financial statements, providing for future applications, and providing for an effective date.
House Bill number 3, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 4. There is an amendment. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1.
Chairman Semlich, can I get the reading clerk needs to read the bill.
House Bill number 4 from the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to brands, revising how brands are recorded and re-recorded, providing for delinquent brands, requiring stock drovers to return coming red livestock at their expense, providing for fees, providing definitions, repealing obsolete provisions, and providing for an effective date.
I'm sorry, Chairman Semlich, now.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 4 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday in the Committee of the Whole on the brand bill, we had some discussion coming from our good representative from Johnson County about whether a fee should be put into statute for those people who brands fall into the delinquency category. So I'm bringing you an amendment here that a few members of our body got together and discussed. And with some direction from the staff and from the director of the Livestock Board, offer this proposal for your consideration, that the fee for the for renewing a delinquent brand would be $150, not to exceed $150. That is just the, at present time, the cost to renew a brand is $300 for 10 years. And I think part of the reason why we wanted this fee for your consideration to be fairly high is that if you're not renewing your brand and falls into that delinquency, it creates some additional work for the livestock board. And we just ask that brand owners be responsible and be timely. And if they're not, we would ask that this $150, not to exceed $150, would be required for the delinquent brand to be reordered. That's not right. To be re-upped anyway. So that's the amendment. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. I didn't read this in maybe correctly. Is this on top of the 10-year renewal fee? So if they timely renewed, it's $300. If they miss it, then it's $150 more, so it would be a total of $450. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Summers, are you? Representative Summers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for this amendment, this would simply allow the board by rule to bring a delinquent fee up to $150. So the board would still determine, you know, what the level would be to begin with. It might not be $150, but it would allow the board up to $150 on a delinquent fee.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor. Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the question from the good representative from Fremont County, that is true. If you timely renew your brand, it's $300. If you let it go into that 12-month delinquency period, then if you wanted to renew it at that point, then the cost to renew for the next 10 years would be the $450.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill number 4. All in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment carries. House Bill 4, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69. We have 2 proposed amendments. The reading of the bill.
House Bill number 69 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to revenue for transportation purposes, increasing the fuel tax and providing for an effective date.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues of the 62nd, the best 62nd we've had. I move the consideration of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69 and ask for your consideration. I'm going to boil this down pretty quick, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, we have a user fee, 14 cents per gallon of fuel, diesel, or gas. What I'm proposing is that we increase the base amount on both fuel types, 5 cents, but on the fuel that actually probably does the most damage to our roads because of what it's involved with, I'm suggesting that we go an additional 10 cents. So my proposal does this. It says to families, 5 cents to continue to have that base use of our roads because you're the ballerinas. You're the light footsteps on our roads. You're the folks who go to church. You're the folks who go to the grocery market, who travel back and forth to work. So we're not going to burden you at the same level as those who wear the work boots in our economy, the drivers of commerce, and that would be our commercial vehicles. Those are diesel users in our economy, in this nation, as a rule, and therefore I would suggest that they can carry a larger part of the burden it takes to maintain the roads that drive their business. The additional advantage that they have is they can pass on theirs, and ultimately it may come to us as a consumer, but the consumer themselves are not having a direct pay and a pass-through pay. They're having only a part. Now, the good chairman and the committee in the interim did great work, and I appreciate what they did. But what I didn't feel I heard take into account was the way the two fuels are used differently in our economy, in the way we live our lives, and the way services are provided to us. Now, there is a handout, and it's been provided to you, LSO handout. It's a spreadsheet similar to other spreadsheets you've seen. And I'm cautious not to use it as a display, but it is in your baskets. I happen to have a larger one that has some color coding, but what it does is it outlines the current proposal from the good transportation committee, chairman, my proposal in the middle, and then the difference between the two proposals on the far left three columns. And they did this in fiscal years, three fiscal years. I hear, still hear papers, so I'm giving you, yes, that is correct, Representative Greer. Still giving you a moment to get it found. And I'm sorry, yours does not have the colors, but yours does have the parentheses involved in it. So you can tell what are positive and what would be negative in far as revenue to the different entities. I designed this on purpose to be revenue neutral to what the good chairman's work was that came out of the interim. But I also designed it, or I felt that it was necessary to reflect the different uses that the fuels bring to our traveled road system. I will acknowledge several things and leave them for your consideration. There are a lot of folks who use diesel pickups primarily to commute and do their things. I would just put forth that those vehicles can also be used to bring heavier loads to our roads, by the use of trailers, etc. So you assume some responsibility by making that choice to utilize a vehicle that would has that potential. The second thing I would that's probably enough. You've heard enough. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to stand for them. I want to point out, and I made this, and I want to make actually an apology to the good chairman. Last night we had late committee meetings. I didn't get to visit with him before he left. When I arrived, there was some consternation, but I assured him that this was revenue neutral to his proposal. It brings the same, and I still think that it gets us closer to the goals that we have as a state. The other thing that I need to mention is this does reduce the amount that's being distributed to counties, municipalities, and those other funds because of the difference in the way those taxes are distributed. But I would submit to you that we can adjust the way we distribute those fuel distributions as well, and that might be another topic that we can look at and adjust, because it may be appropriate as we are in different times than it was originally brought up. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully request your favorable consideration.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're having a dance here, I guess, figure out which one goes first. I have another handout that I put in your box that goes right along with this one, if you would get this out. This has a lot of information on, but about the trucks is the thing that I'd like you to pay special attention to. I was trying to contemplate what kind of a amendment to bring so we have this discussion. And as I was talking over with another member of the body, said, well, the trucks do more, cause more wear and tear to our roads, so let's go 15 there and 5. So I went in there, and the good bringer of this one has already had it. So this handout does a good job. It's from a former legislator. If you'll read down in the lower right-hand corner, says how many years he served here, and of those years, 15 were on the Transportation Committee. And so he knows a lot about what he speaks, and some of the older members would know this gentleman very well. But he points out some good things about the trucking industry and our roads, so I'd call your attention to that. And I think the conversation we're having over the fuel tax is a good conversation to have. Again, I'm just not receiving support for it from Southwest Wyoming. And so on this amendment, I think it's headed in the right direction. So I think I'm for the amendment, but still against the bill. And use this information as you contemplate. Tomorrow at third reading, we'll be able to talk about the whole bill. But this one, I think I would support this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against the amendment, and I appreciate the bringer well thought out, and appreciate the way he presented it. And I just want to think when we do things like these, we have unintended consequences. And I think the idea is absolutely correct. Let's make the folks who are doing the most damage to our roads pay a little more for it, because, in fact, this is a user fee, and I agree wholeheartedly. And the way to really get at that issue is probably through a toll road, particularly on I-80. That's where most of the use and damage and, frankly, our expenses are going to be in the years to come. Or perhaps, these IFTA surcharges, which are being investigated, that other states are doing, that apply specifically there. But I think about a friend of mine who just purchased a diesel car that gets 40 miles to the gallon. And he goes to church on Sunday and does all those things and doesn't do the damage to our road. So he's going to pay a disproportionate share of this tax compared to the person who's driving the gasoline car and parks next to him at church. And so these are some of these unintended consequences. And I appreciate what we're trying to get at. I just don't think this is the right way to do it. It's not really surgical enough, because when we do things that have unintended consequences, we sweep a lot of folks into this. And so I think we keep working on this, and we can get there in another reading, but urge you to vote no on this.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is kind of a novel approach to things, and I think there's a teaching tool here, a teaching method that if you look at the bringer of the amendments handout, it's a perfect example of when you make an amendment, that the devil's in the details. And in this case, the details that have not been resolved, and I would submit need to be resolved before it would ever move forward, would be what it does to the distribution formula of this net drop in a gasoline tax and increase in diesel tax, and what it does to local governments. If you look at the right-hand column, or the right-hand three columns, what we end up with is basically about a 2% drop in revenues for counties, and the reason for that is, maybe I should back up and explain that the distribution of gasoline to local governments is relatively high for municipalities and relatively low for counties. And just the obverse is true for counties, okay? That is to say that they get a relatively larger share of diesel, so they're not punished as much. Now, if you look at this what the result of this is in dollars and cents, you end up with about a 2%, like I say, a 2% or so drop, I think it is, in revenues to counties. But you end up with a 25% drop in revenues for cities. And these other entities, because they're all gasoline, it's just pretty much exactly a 50% drop in these reversions to state parks, off-road vehicles, and so forth. Now, the thing is, we have looked at these kind of things. We've looked at these kind of issues, and there's other things to consider when you have a differential rate for one type of fuel as opposed to another one.
I think maybe one thing we could do, I hope, and maybe you need to, this is another teaching opportunity. You need, if you remember the graph that I sent out yesterday, you know, I want to, you know, talk about the order of magnitude of what this does to households or to gasoline users as opposed to diesel users. The if you look at the tax on Wyoming taxes, less tax, or Wyoming rack price, less taxes, is a green line there, and the diesel this is diesel. Let's pretend it's a gasoline graph. Same kind of principle holds. The diesel for surround, or the gasoline for rack price for gasoline in surrounding states would be just twice as close to each other as they are now. In other words, that purple line and the green line would be a little bit different. That means instead of us paying a pre-tax wholesale price in Wyoming that's 10 cents higher, like we do, it'll now be reduced to 5 cents higher. The other result is, if you look at the numeric example I gave you, instead of the equilibrium price being $4.03 at the pump, the equilibrium price would be $4.5. So this effort that's incorporated in this bill really has a net effect, an expected net effect on prices of the pump at 2.5%. And we're talking about 2.5% on a product that sells for $3, or 2.5 cents, I should say, on a product that sells for $3. And I would submit that's the kind of a second order of magnitude. Now, you say, well, what is it that moves the price around if fuel taxes doesn't have that much of an effect? And it's a refined cost, and the cost that refineries charge for gasoline before the tax has been imposed. Now, they, are in turn, are controlled by what the price of crude is. And the price of crude goes up, and you can bet your bottom dollar that eventually, very soon, you're going to see the price of refined products go up as well. Another thing I think you need to consider here is that you know, there's a little bit of a philosophy here that it kind of depends on whose ox is getting gored. You know, in this case, there's a lot of people that support the fact that households shouldn't pay another 2.5 cents at the pump, but trucks can pay, or should be able to pay, another 7 or 8 or 9 cents at the pump. The a statistic I didn't give you yesterday shows that of all the user fees that we have, 2/3, 66% of user fees, which is registration fees and overweight, oversized fees, all these user fees, including the fuel tax, 66% is paid by the trucking industry, the people that are buying diesel fuel. And they put on, or I should say they use, the roads to the extent of 22% of the miles traveled. So we have 1/5, basically, of the miles traveled are by trucks, but they pay 2/3 of the user fees. Now, I did pass out, you know, I think underlying some of the thought process with this bill is the fact that, you know, households are getting gouged enough. And somewhere you will find a handout. It says Fiscal Fact. This is a organization. I think they're in Washington or somewhere. But anyway, what it does, it's a study that came out January 17, so it just came out today, actually. And if you turn it over into the second page here, it's got all the states listed here, and it looks at the percent or the share of road spending that's covered by fuel taxes, tolls, and other things, user fees and taxes. So if you look at that first column of percentages, that's the percent of effort on the part of users to pay for our roads. And you get down to W's there, and you see Wyoming is 5.3%. So we're 49th in asking for users to pay for roads. Now, who beat us? As you would expect, it's Alaska, and they're 5.2%. Now, they beat us by 0.1% in this ranking. And if you look at the share of all transportation spending, then we're 50th. We win the prize there. So, you know, you have to use your own judgment on this. If you think that, you know, users should, 5.3% is enough for households and others to be paying on the user fees, then you will like this. If this would come to pass, or I should say if the original House Bill 69 passed, that number 5.3% in by Wyoming would go up to about 8%. But we'd still be 49th. We don't have to worry about somebody moving ahead of us on that. And you can see where all the rest of them are. They get up to places in the Northeast, they're up to 50%. So, I guess fairness is in the eyes of the beholder. The element of fairness that I think would have to be worked out before this amendment goes forward is we need to figure out how we're going to deal with the municipality formula, the county formula, and the formulas for these special uses like parks. So I guess you the choice is up to you on it. It kind of departs from the goal of achieving parity when we compare ourselves to other states. I've already gone through that yesterday, and I'm not going to spend any more time on that. But I think you need to think this through and decide for yourself whether this is a second reading amendment or if it's something that needs to be studied in more detail by a committee over the interim. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I have a question for the bringer of the bill, because I think he'd have more knowledge than the bringer of the amendment when it goes through his second turn to speak. What is the effect on apportionment regarding IFTA, whether we raise this price this much? Will that mean we get more money compared to the money we're losing those credits to other states? And then what is going to be the effect if this amendment passes regarding the gas stations that are along the border, regarding business, and then also with credits when the opportunity comes up? Thank you. On and indifferent on the amendment.
Well,
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, but still against the bill. The amendment is, frankly, better for our constituents back home because it only raises the tax 35% on gasoline. So it has far less of an impact than the 70% increase in the original bill. So that's why I'm for the amendment, but I'm still against the bill. And the increase in the diesel, the effect on our truck expenses in Wyoming, what we're trying to go after here, in my opinion, for gasoline or for diesel taxes is to get the damage that's being done on I-80 from probably 90% plus out-of-state interstate traffic. I don't really want to affect our interstate people like we are with this bill. So that's why I'm for the amendment. I ask you to vote for the amendment and still vote against the bill.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I believe that there is merit in this idea as proposed, but I believe that it isn't actually applied to the heavy gross vehicle weight sort of trucks that we're specifically speaking of. And so the possibility of another model that might specifically touch the International Fuel Tax Agreement sort of truck that we're trying to, that are creating a lot of the damages to the roads may be a little better, but I do appreciate the intent of the bill. And but another thing, though, also that the bill, the amendment specifically talks about is we don't want to change our road model too much. There's a lot that's gone into the calculations involved in that road model. And so also, though, to address something that was brought before as well by another speaker, even though heavy gross vehicle weight trucks only use the road 22% of the time, the amount of damage that they bring to those roadbeds is orders of magnitude greater than the passenger vehicles that we're speaking of. And so to the tune of thousands and thousands of passages of a regular passenger vehicle. And so I believe that that's just a point of clarification I wanted to bring to the table. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, just a quick check on the Internet here of gas prices. Right now in the town over the hill where the Cowboys are, the price there is $2.32 a gallon right now. Down in the city that used to be a fort, named after a fort, the price is $2.59. That's a 27-cent difference. And to think that this 10 cents is just going to get absorbed and not make a difference in tax or gas prices is not sound thinking. This will be passed on to our constituents, and the resulting gas prices will impact their livelihood. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The one question was dealt with IFTA and what that impact would have. And, of course, the result would be that we wouldn't be a net loser as far as the fuel taxes, because we would be higher than everyone else, and I should say not everyone else, but we'd be higher than all of the adjacent states around us. So that's the answer to that. The other question, we heard this yesterday that there was a 70% increase in prices for in taxes, and it is a 70%, but what the good representative from District 55 didn't point out, that 70% increase occurred over a 15-year period. In other words, for the last 14 years, the percent increase per year has been 0%, so there is an element of catching up there. The other item that was mentioned was our taxes are high enough. I forgot to, or I want to point out to you, the last page of the handout that I gave you has got a picture of, it says Wyoming gasoline tax rate on the bottom of it. And what this is kind of an interesting graphic here. And what this does is put all of the nominal, or I should say the real rate of the fuel cost or fuel tax in terms of 2012 dollars, and backs it all the way up to probably the first year we had a fuel tax, and that's 1923. So in terms of, if you look at 1932 on this graph, the price in 2012 dollars, or the tax in 2012 dollars, was a 70 cent tax. And since then, you can see we've more or less gone down continually, because we have not kept up with the real cost of the real price level. So I guess that's all I have to say. I think that's all the questions that somebody directed towards me, and that's all I'll say then. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Barlow.
Mr. Speaker, thank you to all those who provided comment. I will respond to those not by name, but in general categories. First, in response to surgery, that things are not always as clean as they could be and as precise as they could be. I actually have some experience with surgery, and sometimes surgery is a bloody mess. And you get to tidy it up later when you close things up. So while the good representative from Natrona County may be a championship football coach, I would suggest that surgery is not always pretty, even though it may be in football. The drop in revenue that was mentioned. This is not a drop in revenue. This is a drop in new revenue. These counties and municipalities are still gaining revenue. because the tax is going up across. There is not, they are receiving a drop in new revenue based on the bill before you, the original bill. So there is a gain in revenue for counties and municipalities. Order of magnitude, talking about how it will impact the price at the pump. I think that case has been made to us amply. We take 5 cents off, we're not going to notice it. We add 10 cents on, maybe we don't notice it. All due deference given to the representative from the central part of our state who says we will notice it. But what is the difference here? The difference is an assignment, the partitioning based on the use, the impact to our road system. The final thing, or two final things, the ox getting gored. I would submit to you that in this debate, there is an ox that's begging to be gored. Because there are interests out there who say, absolutely, we are willing to pay for this. But there are there's a calf out there that is not willing to maybe give up so easily. And those are the folks that I wish we would keep in mind. Finally, a last thought about where we are with highway funding in Wyoming. If we look at the pie charts that the good chairman provided to us early on, we are very dependent on federal funding. Very dependent. Up 70-plus percent if you really considered where all the funds are coming from. And I would ask you that I am willing to step up what I contribute or what my family contributes, but I want it to be done based on where the damage is coming from and the fuel type that provides that to our roads. So I would ask, Mr. Speaker, for the body's favorable consideration of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment fails. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 69. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think my amendment, I'll remove that because we've had the discussion that we needed to have, and we'll continue tomorrow, so I will remove it at this time, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Yagi, for saving us an economics lecture. House Bill 69 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now on that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pulling 2 bills off the consent list, and you'll see them go on the regular reading list. The 2 that are coming off, if you're following on your list, is House Bill 8 and House Bill 41. So, Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 2, House Bill 9, House Bill 17, House Bill 24, House Bill 43, and House Bill 51.
The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill number 2, as presented by corporations, an act relating to elections, providing for temporary registration for use of absentee ballots, repealing archaic language, providing for replacement of spoiled ballots, providing for approval of petitions for independent party candidates, extending time for special elections to fill vacancies of congressmen, and providing for an effective date be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 9, Election Code Revisions, as presented by corporations, an act relating to elections, amending a definition, providing for compensation for counting board training, providing for posting of instruction cards and sample ballots, repealing provisions relating to diagrams, providing for entry of ballots on tally lists, providing for oaths by county canvassing boards, and providing for an effective date be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 17 is introduced by School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school capital construction, prescribing methodology for the analysis of enrollment projections as used in prioritization of facility remedies by the School Facilities Commission, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill Number 24, as introduced by Speaker Lubnow, an act relating to probate, amending maximum values for certain proceedings relating to probate of estates, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill Number 43, as introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to crimes and offenses, providing that a person is guilty of a misdemeanor if he leaves the vicinity of a burning fire as specified, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill Number 51, introduced by Speaker Lubnow, an act relating to probate, specifying a time for filing objections to the appointment of the specified persons, providing exceptions, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey. Blickrey. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen. Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Blickrey,
excused.
Blickrey excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye. Two excused. As to House Bill 2, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Esquivel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 9, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 17, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 24, are there any changes? Are there any changes? As to House Bill 24, the vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 43, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 51, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members of the House, House Bills 2, 9, 17, 24, 43, and 51 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 8, as introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to Child Protective Services. be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, House Bill 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlett,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
House Bill number 8, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41. There is an amendment.
House Bill number 41 is introduced by Representative Gingery, an act relating to game and fish. Be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1. If you recall, on Committee of the Whole, I did an amendment that dealt with the time periods. So if you got an any wild bison license and then you harvested a bull license, at that point you could not go for another bull for the rest of your life, but you could go for a cow-calf. Or if you had an any license and you got and you harvested a cow calf, you could not go for a cow calf for 5 years, but you could go for an any license. And then the second part was, if you obtained a female calf, cow calf license, and of course you harvest a cow calf, what we had it was that you you had to wait 5 years, but you could go for an any license. And I thought I was doing that correctly, and then Game and Fish came to me and explained to me. That I sort of had it a little bit backwards, because the problem is the people that got a cow-calf, if you were allowing them the very next year to go into the any license, there's the potential that it's not fair because now they're going into the pool for the any license. So what they asked me to do was on Romanet 2, which only deals with the cow-calf, so if you get a cow or a calf, you get a cow-calf license, you harvest a cow-calf, you would now not be able to go for any license or for the cow-calf for the next 5 years. But after 5 years, you could go for either one. It was to make it fair. They were worried that hunters would interpret that as not being fair because you're letting those people back into the pool for the any license. Hope that makes sense.
Is there any other discussion on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 41? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 41. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. House Bill 41, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller. Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 41, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 41 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 52.
House Bill number 52 is introduced by Speaker Lubnow, an act relating to workplace safety, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 52, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson. Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick, Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 52, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 52 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 79.
House Bill number 79, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to the collection of unpaid wages, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 79, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Baker?
Aye.
Barlow?
No.
Berger excused. Blake?
No.
Blevins?
Aye.
Blickery?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Burkhart?
Aye.
Bird?
Aye.
Campbell?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Coleman?
Aye.
Connolly?
No.
Davison?
Aye.
Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund?
Aye.
Esquivel?
No.
Filer?
No.
Freeman?
No.
Gay? Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 79, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 79 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 1. This is a resolution to amend the Wyoming Constitution. It will require, it must pass by a two-thirds majority. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 1 is introduced by Dan Zwanitzer. A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove any mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices and judges of other courts in Wyoming be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution 1 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the joint resolution pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green. Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup. Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
House Joint Resolution having received a two-thirds majority of the members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution Number 1 has passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the order of bills on general file is on the yellow sheet that's in your folder. There hasn't been any change. There might be a change at noon. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of resolving into the committee of the whole, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are in committee of the whole. Representative Reeder.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first reading, or the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 82. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 82, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to health insurance, authorizing Wyoming insurers to offer individual and small employer health insurance policies in Wyoming that have been approved for issuance in other states. providing minimum standards for out-of-state policies, prescribing notice requirements, granting rulemaking authority, preempting conflicting laws, providing definitions, reappropriating funds, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 82, Interstate Sales of Health Insurance, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Throne, Wilson. The noes were Representative Reeder. And that's signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Representative Harvey, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 82 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment. And I'm going to turn the explanation of the bill and the amendment over to this great new freshman who doesn't look or act like one.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you today, ladies and gentlemen, we have House Bill 82, Interstate Sales of Health Insurance. This was a interim bill that came out of the interim from the Labor Health Committee, and I would ask first of all for the, I will explain the amendment because it's integral to the bill, clarifying a couple things and adding a couple things, and we'll go through the bill. So first on the amendment, line 3 and line 7, line 8 of page 1, there's just some clarification here to make sure that the enacting clause accurately reflects what the bill intends to do. So we add high deductible health plans because that is included in the bill but was not included here. We strike some on line 7, 8, because we are asking for no money or nor are we reapportioning or reappropriating any funds. So that's on the first part of the amendment. On page 4, line 8, there was a bit of a clarification. There was a few words dropped, and so we added in employer health insurance to keep consistent throughout the bill. And then finally on page 4, the next one is on page 4, after line 15, insert a new clause under this title of sale of health insurance policies approved in other states. Insert a new portion there which states as follows: any authorized insurer may offer an individual or small employer an health insurance policy with benefits equivalent to those of any policy approved for sale in Wyoming under this article, provided that the offered policy meets the requirement of this article. Inserted there. Then on page 8, after line 4, what's being added here is some reporting responsibility from the Department of Insurance to this body, and just ask for a report by October 31st, 2014, based on the information gathered that would be precipitated from this bill. Therefore, I would ask for your favorable consideration of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 82.
The question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The impetus of this bill is to provide options for individuals and employers to find health care solutions, affordable health care solutions, insurance solutions that may not exist within our state, by allowing out-of-state insurance companies to provide some type of product within Wyoming. It sets up a structure that the Department of Insurance will oversee and has certain guidelines. I would like to walk you through the bill. Page one, obviously, is just introductory stuff. Page two, we have some significant definitions. All of them are either referred to otherwise in statute or in the IRS code. At the bottom is where the guts of this bill start and give us the basis for which we're going to allow this this activity to occur. The insurance commissioner shall allow several types of insurance plans or the affiliates or subsidiaries of them to come into the state subject to the following. Approval of the forms in one. The insurance, number two, that they are authorized to transact insurance in this state. Three, the policies are consistent with the requirements of the article. Four, the commissioner has the opportunity to enforce the components of the policy. And I'm walking through this fast because I don't want to burn you out on health care issues first, because we have several more coming, as you might imagine. Five, the insurer must inform the commissioner how the policy is priced. Basically, what the group is. Is it an out-of-state group that's adding Wyoming, or is it a Wyoming-only group that an out-of-state offerer is putting forth? There are some, makes it subject to some provisions already in statute. And then the commissioner in number seven will have the ability to review the network requirements so that we don't end up with unreasonable expectations for the consumer as these providers come into the state and may offer things. The next portion would be eight, and this was added by the amendment that was adopted. This is allowing an insurer that is already operating in Wyoming to offer an equivalent plan to someone who might offer something from outside of Wyoming. So it's trying to level the playing field of opportunity so that we can give folks an opportunity to purchase health insurance, not only from outside, but from inside the state, and some kind of parity basis. The bottom of page four goes into, so that was adopted in the Standing Committee Amendment. The bottom of page four, 303, talks about the actuarial standards. B talks about the need for the commissioner to make sure that things are in order with the policies and that the providers of the policies, and then also allows for the participation in the WIP pool, the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool. C also requires that they are protected under the Wyoming Life Health Guarantee Act, which, of course, deals with if a provider has insolvency issues, Wyoming has a fund to take care of that. 304, Section 304. The policies, here's what needs to be provided on the policies, and this is very important for our constituents, for those who might be interested in this. The benefits, and I'm going to read the entire thing, it's going to say it twice, both on the application and the policy, but I want this to be clear to folks. The benefits of this policy may primarily be governed by the laws of a state other than Wyoming. All the laws applicable to policies filed in this state may not apply to this policy. Any purchase of individual health insurance should be considered carefully, since future medical conditions may make it impossible to qualify for another individual health insurance policy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are allowing folks an opportunity, but they assume a great deal of responsibility in participating in that. And I think fair notice is appropriate in this case. So that goes both with the application and as part of the policy. C, on the top of page 7, speaks to the comparison to ensure that if the policy is similarly offered in and out of state, there's a comparison provided. 305, starting on page 8, talks about the authority of the commissioner to adopt rules, have a dispute resolution mechanism, and then 306 talks about conflict with other provisions. Ladies and gentlemen, We know health care is a challenge. It's the nearly $1 billion per year gorilla in our state. All we're doing with this would be is a step in allowing individuals and small employers in our state an opportunity to possibly get their arms around one portion of that on their own behalf. I would stand for any questions. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions, and I don't know if this testimony was had in committee, but I'm curious to find the answer. So any testimony concerning any negative impacts of our companies that are already existing in Wyoming, any chance of those premiums going up? And then also, was there any testimony concerning how this might benefit our citizens in the form of lower premiums? And I don't know if you went into that, got that statistical data or not. If you did, I would sure like to hear a brief explanation of that.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the good question. The question was regarding negative impacts to the, I believe it was the price potential for the citizens of the state of Wyoming. Because of the amendment brought forth that added this bill, actually I would suggest that we are going to improve the competitiveness of this marketplace, because the in-state insurers would be able to price policies similarly to those that were offered from out of state. So at least that the testimony was, and the question from the good bringer was, what was the testimony? The testimony was that there would be increased competitiveness with the addition of this amendment, with the language of the amendment which was adopted. The second part of the question is the benefit to the citizens. I think the bill itself, and with the addition of the amendment, is the benefit to the citizens of Wyoming. They have an opportunity that is currently not in place to purchase health insurance that is offered from out-of-state entities, out-of-state insurers, so they have the opportunity to make choices, and then it allows the competition from in-state providers to meet it or do better. So I would suggest that it improves competitiveness, and therefore it would benefit our citizens. And I heard nothing as far as the price component in the testimony yesterday that would lead me anywhere differently.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is kind of a general question. We've heard for a number of years of the benefits of cross-border insurance and the benefits that it's going to be available if that happens in a more sophisticated way. But I've also heard that in the state of Wyoming that we have out-of-state insurance, both advertising and getting customers. What do you understand to be the improvement that we will get with this bill that we didn't have before? And did we have testimony from out-of-state competitive insurance companies and their thoughts on what they'd be able to do for Wyoming in the way of price and quality of insurance?
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill, there are a couple things in here that I think are very dangerous to Wyoming. Effectively, what this bill does is right now, Wyoming has the authority, under the Affordable Care Act, Wyoming has the authority for plans that are sold within the state to not fall under the same rules and regulations as the plans that are offered through state health care exchanges. This would put the same regulations on plans offered exclusively in the state of Wyoming as every plan that is offered under a healthcare exchange system. It is, I think, widely acknowledged that the Affordable Care Act is causing premiums to rise greatly, and by putting those same regulations on Wyoming code and plans specifically within Wyoming, that has the potential to increase everybody's premiums instead of lower them. There is another bill coming that we will have a chance to debate that will allow citizens to purchase health insurance across state lines without the extra regulations that would ensure a lot more freedom of choice and have the potential for a lot lower premiums. I don't think we need to force the Affordable Care Act regulations on plans in Wyoming. We have the right not to do that right now, and there's no need to put those regulations in place. Please vote against the bill.
Representative Bartle.
Thank you. In response to the question from the good questioner from the center of our state, the benefits, the discussion about the benefits from out-of-state markets, this is being provided in other states, and of course regulatory environments vary from state to state, and what entities, i.e. the private interests, may want to do state to state vary. We're a relatively small market. How fast would they come? How hard would they come? Unknown, because we haven't provided them the opportunity. So I think that the price, the testimony we heard, both from the offers that would be coming from out of the state and those in the state with the addition of the amendment, the language of the amendment, believe price would be impacted in a positive manner. Quality, that is where this is a matter of choice, folks. We're not mandating anything in this. This is where folks get to compare. And if they find a policy that meets their needs and may be offered within the state or out of the state with the terms or the coverages that they would approve of or appreciate, then they can go forth. As far as the PAPACA, Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, I learned a new acronym, PAPACA, question and comments. First of all, those don't take place until go into effect until January 2014. So we've got a year with this bill passage, some time for rules to be implemented and insurance companies to get something in place. Second of all, it would my understanding is that the Affordable Care Act would not apply to the insurers within Wyoming who are offering the plans that they are now. It would be if they choose to do something outside of where their scope of offerings is, i.e. to try to match what was coming in from out of state. So, but certainly, if there's someone that would like to, has better understanding of that, I would appreciate them stepping forth. So I think that was all the questions I heard. With that, Chairman, I would ask that the body consider favorably the passage of House Bill 82.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also note that we're not the only ones thinking upon these lines. There are six states that have enacted similar legislation to share insurance markets across state lines. And I would have to say that having read both bills, the other one that was referred to, this one does have more regulations, but it has consumer protections in it. So if I go to the state to the south and buy insurance, then they don't pay the claim. I don't have the protection, if this bill does not pass, I would not have the protection of having our insurance commissioner to be able to have a say in whether or not they advocate for me or not. And so this allows our insurance commissioner to be able to have some jurisdiction on some of these plans, on all of these plans. And the first thing is that they must be licensed in the state of Wyoming. They may be originated from another state, but they still have to be licensed. And so there are consumer protections in place to where you won't go buy a policy that does you no good, including if you bought a policy straight to the south of us, and then it only covered providers that are across the state borders. would be something that would be difficult, and that's why it's important to have these protections in place.
Further discussion on the bill? Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I just didn't hear it. But is this going to place additional regulatory burdens on the insurers that are already operating in the state or not?
Representative Barlow.
Mr. Chairman, in response to the question about additional regulatory burdens for insurers that are already operating in the state, my understanding is that no. This act is only applicable to folks that are outside of the state, because the folks that are already operating in the state already follow what's being placed in this as far as consumer protection guidelines. So there is no additional burden to them. It actually opens a window for them to compete with these out-of-state providers who may come into the state.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just because I don't know, how many health insurance companies are licensed in the state of Wyoming and have this certificate so that we can, if they have a claim issue for a customer living in Wyoming and they maybe are out of state, what do we have existing now in that area? Because I just don't know.
Representative Barlow. Change that. Chairman Harvey.
I'm sorry, I don't have the exact figures in my head, but we have just a little over 300. Oh, we have 200 companies that are actually licensed in the state, but only 38 do business. But we also have two domestic insurance companies.
Further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 82 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Pursuant to House 10-5B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. House Bill 82 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 49. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 49, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature repealing archaic provisions regarding certificates of attendance and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill number 49, Legislature Certificates of Attendance, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Lubnow, Madden, Moniz, Patton, Petroff, Throne, Dan Wallinser, two excused, Representative Berger and Stubson, signed by Speaker Lubnow.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 49 do pass. This is our chance to take a couple statutes off the books. We have two statutes, 25, 28.5.104 and 28.5.105 that require the chief clerk to issue certificates of attendance to everybody who comes to the meeting. We don't do that anymore, and so we'd like to remove that from the statute, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Question being called. All those in favor of Mr. Speaker's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that bill number 49 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 49 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 50, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature repealing archaic statute requiring printed bills to be mailed to county clerks and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 50, distribution of bills, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blickery, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Lubnow, Madden, Moniz, Patton, Petroff, Throne, and Dan Wallenser. Two excused, Representative Berger and Stubson, signed by Representative Lubnow, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 50 do pass. This is a bill which will allow us to take a statute off the books and save some money in the process. In 1895, when the statute passed, we didn't have the advent of the Internet, and so we required statutes and all, or we required all proposed bills to be mailed to the county clerks. We still mail all of our proposed bills to the county clerks, and they put them in a pile in their office, and generally nobody uses them because if you are interested in what the bills say, you just log onto the Internet, and there the bill pops up. So what this bill would do, it was would remove the requirement that the chief clerk mail copies of all of the draft bills to all of the county clerks. I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question. Question being called. All those in favor of Mr. Speaker's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that bill number 50 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Bill passed. House Bill 50 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 57, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to legislative compensation, clarifying provisions enacted in 2009 to be effective January 7, 2013, relating to payment of the constituent allowance, repealing obsolete and inconsistent provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 57, Constituent Service Allowance, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye are Representatives Blickery, Brown, Connolly, Greer, Lubnow, Madden, Moniz, Patton, Petroff, Throne, and Dan Zwanitzer. Those excused, Representatives Berger and Stubson, signed by Speaker Lubnow, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 57 do pass. This bill comes to us with sort of a twisted and long history. When the constituent service allowance was originally adopted, there was a huge debate between the House and the Senate on how to handle it. The House required receipts for everything that it did under the constituent service allowance, and the Senate just had to get the constituent service allowance was just issued automatically. a few sessions ago, four years ago, the then representative from House District 30, two representatives ago, proposed a bill that said that if you didn't use all of the constituent service allowance in one quarter, it could carry over to the next quarter. The Senate didn't like that and changed the bill so that it was automatic that the constituent service allowance be received, which is what had happened in the Senate. There was a conference committee on that. The Senate dug in their heels. And so in 4 years ago, effective the beginning of 2013, the constituent service allowance was to be distributed the same way both in the House and Senate. But we left some ambiguous language in the statute. This bill fixes that ambiguous language to reflect the way that that bill that passed 4 years ago actually does things. Because we can't change the way that we have compensation during the term of an existing official, this bill passed 4 years ago in 2009 and becomes effective in 2013, but we needed to clean up this language and to remove the ambiguity. I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there a question being called? All those in favor of Mr. Speaker's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 57 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Bill 57 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 33, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to consumer protection, providing disclosure requirements for roofing solicitations, roofing proposals, and roofing repair contracts, providing for cancellation of roofing contracts, providing remedies, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 33, Roofing Contractors, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye: Representative Blickery, Byrd, Gay, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, Petroff, and Danswalenser. Excused was Representative Berger, signed by Representative Blickery.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 33 do pass. And I'll turn over management of the bill to the sponsor.
Representative.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I bring you House Bill 33, affectionately called the Storm Chaser Bill. Basically, what's the genesis of this bill? It was before this body before, and in a very close vote, you decided not to pass it on at that time. Since then, we've had some bad weather that has had situations reoccur that I think that we need to address, and one of those are bad actors who come into the state to perform, in this particular case, roofing repairs under the guise or under the pretense of actually working with or representing entities that they do not represent. In most cases, they present themselves as representatives or mediaries that would work for insurance companies or other entities that would allow you to replace damaged roofs, etc. Basically, what this bill does is it requires that these people notify you up front when engaging you that they are out-of-state contractors and who they work for. They are required to give you information as to where they reside and where they work, so the individual who is being solicited by these people can at least try to research that a little bit better on their own. It also requires that they disclose any relationships that they have with insurance companies and if they're acting as their agents in soliciting this business. So that's pretty much the bill in a nutshell, and I would stand for questions. I would urge the adoption. There is a standing committee amendment, which I would yield to the chairman of the Corporations Committee to bring forward at this time.
Vice Chairman Rick Lickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rises reported, also I also move the adoption of the standing committee amendment. The amendment, if you should have a list, what it essentially does is in all the applicable spots, it inserts roofing in front of contractor. So on page 3, line 20, before contractor, you insert roofing. On page 4, line 1, you'll delete represent after the 2 and insert exclusively. On page 4, line 2, you'll before the resent, you'll insert exclusively. On page 6, before contractor, you'll insert roofing. On page 6, line 12, before contractor, you'll insert roofing. On page 6, line 16, before contractor, you'll insert roofing. On page 6, line 17, before contractor, you'll insert roofing. On page 6, line 24, before contractor, you'll insert roofing. On page 8, line 4, before contractor, insert roofing. And before contractors, insert roofing. On page 8, line 12, before contractor, insert roofing. Page 8, line 22, insert roofing before contractor. On page 26, or page 8, excuse me, line 24, before contractor, insert roofing. And page 9, line 1, before contractor, insert roofing. Essentially, all these changes are just to state that this bill is about roofing contractors. Thank you.
Representative Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill sponsor is right that this is an old friend of the House, and for some of us it's less friendly than it is perhaps to others, but I ask that you consider this carefully and urge some caution. And I'll give you a couple reasons why I'm concerned about this. And first one probably has to do with not really the details of the bill, but just philosophically with saying that government was going to step in and protect us from everything that we might create.
Representative.
Harm.
Is this addressing the amendment? We're on standing.
My apologies.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask the House to adopt this. This is considered a friendly amendment to the bill.
Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You'd think I'd know better by now, but I guess I do forget. So, philosophically, it's not the details of this bill. It's philosophically that the government needs to stand in between us and people who really should take some personal responsibility with issues like this. I know it's a problem. We have these catastrophic storms that come through, but it just seems to me like there should be some responsibility on the part of the homeowner and working with their insurance companies to make these decisions about what contractors that they should use. So we're just getting into a culture now where we always expect that the government will protect us from somebody, and I'm not sure that that's the kind of training we want going forward with our culture. And I think at some point we just have to stop and say, you know, let's let homeowners and insurance companies work together to make good decisions about what contractors they hire. And the second thing is, it would seem to me like this could be handled through city ordinances. You know, we have requirements for contracting, licensing, and that. It's a problem in some areas and some times, but to suggest that we need to pass a law that will cover, every community in this state, I just think is probably more than what we really need. So again, Mr. Chairman, I just ask the body, urge some caution in moving forward with this. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask the bringer of the bill on page 6, actually begins on page 5, the right to cancel, and continues on page 6A, talks about a person may cancel within 5 business days. I think the assumption of this bill is that work hasn't started. But if work has started on day 1 and been completed on day 3, it seems like canceling work that's already been completed is not addressed here. So at some point, if the sponsor would address cancellation for work that has occurred within that 5-day cancellation window. Thank you.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question just involves how roofing contractors separate themselves from other type of contractors. I would think that, for example, fencing contractors or, I don't know what all, paving contractors. I mean, these kind of things are not unique to roofers. That's my opinion anyway, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but there must be other nefarious-oriented contractors out there besides roofers.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I was looking for the penalty. So, like, if you violate this, so you don't do it, it looks like the penalty is over here in 40-12-108, and it says you can bring a private action under unlawful deceptive trade practice, which is already in the statutes, and you would sue for the actual damages that you incurred, which I'm not sure if you need a law for that because you could do that on your own. But what it seems to do that could be maybe a good thing, it allows you to bring a class action suit. So let's say your roof was the one that the people showed up and you were damaged, but you may not have the money to maybe hire an attorney and go forward. What you're not seeing in the bill, and you might want to go find a statute book and look at this, under 40-12-108, it allows you to bring a class action, meaning that let's say they got a whole neighborhood or a whole street. All of you could go in together, and it'd be one case, and under 108B, it allows for attorney fees to be paid. So if you're successful, your attorney would be paid. Because a lot of times that's what limits people going forward, that they can't afford to hire the attorney or pay for the case. So I'm not for or against the bill. I just was pointing out that the remedy appears that if you violated this, that you could do a class action and that your attorney fees would be paid for. But it doesn't appear, and I just want to double check with the sponsor of the bill, that there's any criminal penalty for violating this.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another question for the bringer of the bill. I did vote for this in committee. I had a couple questions that were unanswered in the committee, and I'm just hoping he can address those today. One is along those same lines as the previous speaker. What in this bill is not already governed by the Wyoming Consumer Protection Act? So is this just a redundant bill that's already governed by the Wyoming Consumer Protection Act? And the second, we're going to give these people a license. Are we giving a false sense of security to individuals? Because we're not going to say if there's any quality or no quality, but we're going to give them a license, and they're going to show that license to people, but we're not actually verifying there's any quality. They could have numerous complaints against them. Is there anything to address that? Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me address some of these concerns that have been brought up. The first one, basically the responsibility of the homeowner and the government stepping in as big brother to hold their hands for these transactions. I'm one of those people who feels that the individual should be held responsible for their actions, and I'm not... I wouldn't be bringing this forth if I thought it was government coming in or being allowed to modify or interfere with those private sector contracts and things that of that nature. What it is, and it gives the homeowner a little bit added protection, and I'll step through and explain that as I go through. The page 5 cancellation comment, it has to do with when you traditionally have roof damage and the roofing contractor comes, the roofing contractor is usually trying to stick a contract in the person's face and getting them to sign with relative incentives right there and making claims that the insurance will pay or whoever would be a responsible party for assisting in the payment of this roof will come through with the money. The problem there is if you sign this contract or that thing right on that spot, the existing statute comes as you have a 5-day right of refusal on a contract. That starts the clock ticking at that point. Unfortunately, what happens is the insurance adjuster or that group that's going to be responsible for assisting you with a payment may not be able to get out and see that roof and make that determination from the insurance company's side. So they may be outside that window 5 days or longer, which means if they come back to the individual who owns this property and says, no, your roof is not damaged, whoever made this estimate or gave you this contract, we are not going to pay. We're not going to pay for a partial arrangement or any of that stuff. Then you're on the hook for a cancellation fee, and that cancellation fee could run as high as 10% of the face value of the contract. So what this does is it adds a protective element there as the clock does not start ticking until the adjuster comes through and approves the action that you want to take with the roofing repair person. And at that point, your contract recidivism takes place, that 5-day clock starts ticking. So that just levels the playing field for the homeowner and the property owner to be able to get that information and not be left exposed from that point of view. Again, that goes back to the government protection. I do believe it is the government's position, our position inside this body, as to help facilitate the individual being protected in a transaction of this nature. Moving down the list and addressing some of the other questions, the roofing contractor being segregated out as opposed to a fencing contractor. Well, fencing contractors are not notorious for chasing storms around the state and basically taking a placard, sticking it on the side of a truck with a phone number and masquerading as a representative of an insurance company or somebody else that's going to assist you with a payment. Unfortunately, this business has a lot of bad actors who we're trying to basically cut out and limit their ability to come in here and do this kind of business. Relative to the question about Wyoming Statute 40-12-108, deceptive trade practices, I believe that this dovetails into that and only makes it stronger. So that when coupled together with that, it gives added protection to the homeowner. The criminal penalties section, that's a good question if this body so chooses that they want to add a criminal penalty to it. I would see no problem with it. The people who have brought me this to bring this bill to the floor, I believe that they would not have a problem with it. So if it is the purview of this group to add that section, we can discuss that at the time appropriate. And with that, I stand for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fung.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I know it's lunchtime. I just wanted to give you a personal, quick, very quick personal story about why this bill was brought to us. Summer of 2011, we had a 100-year hail event in Cheyenne. It blanketed the downtown area of where I live. Those homes, well, and this isn't really relevant, but, you know, it's sort of the historic part of town. I was on vacation in a wilderness area, and so but when we came out of cell phone or into cell phone coverage, I had about 30 text messages from various people watching my house, as well as the photos that looked like a blizzard had come through. That's how bad the hail was. Also, by the time I got home, I had more brochures, more messages, and about every single day, somebody knocked on my door wanting to fix my roof. Some of them seemed reputable, some of them did not. But the bottom line is, if we don't have these protections in place, it makes life more difficult for the insurance companies, who then, of course, have a basis for increasing insurance rates across the state. Basically, we need these sort of protections to keep the costs down across the board. You know, as to the specifics, maybe there are things that needs tweaked. But really, we really, in summer of 2011, you wouldn't believe the traffic that came by my front door begging me and offering me all sorts of bargains on my roof. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would only reiterate that the language within this bill was brought forth at the request of several insurance companies through one of their representatives. So with that, I think we've talked enough on this bill, and I would move for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Blickley's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 33 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, so pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, the bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins. Blevins. Blevins.
No.
Blickrey. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman. Harshman? Harshman excused. Harvey?
Aye.
Hunt?
No.
Hutchings?
No.
Yagi?
No.
Kasparik?
No.
Kirkbride?
Aye.
Croker?
No.
Crone?
No.
Larson?
No.
Lockhart?
No.
Laux?
No.
Madden?
No.
McKim?
No.
Miller?
No.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup? Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder. Reeder.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Reeder, no. Semlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Cheaters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace. Wallace. Wallace excused.
No.
Walters. Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 37 no, 3 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, House Bill 33, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 o'clock.
We do have a motion on the floor, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator, Representative.
That was a demotion. Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I have privilege of the floor?
I'm sorry.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we've got some special guests. They're constituents of mine from Park County. They're here on my right. They've got the distinction of having two number ones on their license plates. So if you could please welcome to the House Ted Marshall, Joe Walker, Carol Armstrong, and Bob Berry. Welcome.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege to the floor, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you. On my left, your right, is my wife, who you've seen here frequently, but with her is a lady by the name of Martha Rakestraw, whose father was a former Speaker of the House, and I'd like to welcome them. Martha is from Park County, so we have a Park County invasion today. Martha, with you and Lynn, stand up, please. Welcome.
Are there any standing committee announcements? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Military, and Highway Affairs, will meet today, 10 minutes after adjournment, in H-17 to discuss the following bills. House Bill 147, Vehicle Registration Fees, Purple Heart Exemption. House Bill 127, Driver's License, Veteran Designation. House Bill 148, House Bill Security Officers. And House Bill 95, Railroad Crossings on Track Vehicles.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet now upon noon recess in room H-18 to hear House Bill 35, Search and Rescue Operations, House Bill 42, Land Use Planning, and House Bill 118, Insurance Coverage for Vehicle Accident Cleanup Costs.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will have a meeting on Friday, 8 o'clock, in a joint meeting with Minerals on the Senate side. And I'd urge you all to come because we're going to talk about the University of Wyoming and some of the future looks at the Engineering College. In addition, your committee number 9 will meet on Monday morning at 8 o'clock, room H-18, to hear Bills, House Bill 61, Banking Division Nationwide Licensing System, House Bill 62, Innocent Landowner Amendments, and House Bill 56, Wyoming Pollution Discharge Elimination System.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet now upon noon recess. The first bill we will take up is House Bill 75, Public Storage Unit Liens, then House Bill 76, Investigative Subpoenas, then House Bill 139, Uniform Trust Code, and then House Bill 39, Penalties for Misdemeanor Offenses, if we have time. If we don't have time, we will probably end up moving Uniform Trust Code or continue Uniform Trust Code into this evening and move Penalties for Misdemeanor Offenses into this evening. So we'll probably be meeting upon adjournment also.
Chairman Harvey.
And I thought I was a slave driver. House Labor Education will continue this evening upon adjournment. We will have the Department of Insurance and a national speaker come and explain health insurance exchanges, and that's upon adjournment in room 302. Very dynamic speaker. If you have any questions about health insurance exchanges, he can answer them far better than I. Also tonight is the Leap into Leadership and kickoff with the dinner at Little America. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those of you that are still left, Committee Number 3, Revenue, meets tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, in room H11. We have two bills, House Bill 171, Fuel Tax Gasoline Definition, and House Bill 170, Streamlined Sales Tax Direct Mail.
We will sit till 2 o'clock and return as Committee of the Whole.